For the ninth year in a row, the Environmental Working Group, a nonprofit advocacy group, has just released its 2013 Shopper's Guide to Pesticides and Produce. This handy guide lists the fruits and veggies with the most and least pesticides, so you know which are the most important to eat organic and which are okay to eat even when conventionally grown. With us to talk about the Dirty Dozen and the Clean 15 list is Sonia Lunder. She's a senior analyst with the Environmental Working Group. And Sonia, nice to have you. Good morning.
Hi, thank you.
How long has the Environmental Working Group been posting information about these foods, Sonia? Tell us about that.
EWG has worked on the safety of pesticides and pesticide exposures since our inception, but we've been putting this information together in a consumer-friendly guide since the year 2004.
Yeah. What's the criteria for making the Dirty Dozen list of the most dangerous, I guess, fruits and vegetables to eat?
Well, the U.S. government actually looks at the pesticide residues on conventionally grown foods and tests thousands of produce samples every year. But when we looked at these reports, we realized a couple things. One is that there are huge differences between crops in the amount of pesticides that are detected on conventional foods. And this is even after they're washed and they're being ready to be eaten. We also realized that in government tests, about 60 to 70% of foods have pesticide residues on them, and that consumers weren't really aware of that fact, nor the foods that come to them with the cleanest profile versus those with the most pesticides. So we started looking at an index where we just look across the food supply at some of the foods that have more pesticide residues and also greater concentrations of those. We also look for foods that have lots of different types of chemicals, pesticides on them when you buy them versus those that have few. And we found some pretty consistent differences between foods that hold up from one year to the next.
You know, you're making me nervous here. 60 to 70% of the fruits and vegetables that I'm buying at the grocery store still have pesticide residue on them?
Yeah, a residue is the detection of a pesticide on a fruit or vegetable that you plan to eat. And as I mentioned, the USDA is the government agency responsible for measuring these. And they, you know, will peel a banana or they'll wash an apple for 10 seconds, and then they'll send it to a laboratory and have that sample analyzed to see if there are agricultural chemicals that are still on it. Now, in the scientific world, this isn't necessarily a surprise, but I think it's something that the consumers aren't aware of.
Yeah.
And at Environmental Working Group, we're consumer advocates. We're concerned about the multiple exposures that a person will have to pesticides if you're using them in your house, you're treating your pets to avoid, you know, pet diseases. You might have, if you live in an agricultural area, you might be breathing some in if people are applying pesticides to foods they're growing in your area, or you might be drinking contaminated water. So all of these, we look at the whole picture in our advocacy work, but this consumer guide is just thinking about the food that you're buying in the produce section of your grocery store and what kind of pesticides you might be getting from it.
And Sonia, just to clarify here, that 60 to 70% of the foods I'm buying at my grocery store might still have a trace of pesticide. Is that test taken after those fruits and veggies have been rinsed off in the sink?
Yeah, their washing criteria is about 10 seconds of washing under running water and rubbing them. And
I'm a dead man walking is what you're saying.
Washing your fruits and vegetables is known to reduce concentrations of the pesticides that are applied to the outside or, you know, put on at the end. There are some pesticides that are taken up inside the plant in order to keep these resistant. And, you know, we just, as consumer advocates, want to think about what those exposures mean for us. We know that women who are pregnant and the developing fetus are especially sensitive to some of the effects of pesticides that target the nervous system. And we think that pregnancy and childhood are times where these pesticide exposures are shown to be potentially harmful and would be a key time of concern. There are other pesticide residues of chemicals that are attacking other parts of a plant, or designed to have less or shown to have less effects on human health.
Well, I eat lots of fruits and vegetables. How much time do I have left? I mean, I always rinse, but you're saying I'm not getting the pesticides off what I'm eating.
No, and of course, we all, everyone at EWG and in every other part of the public health world encourages people to eat fruits and vegetables. This is a really important thing to impress upon someone. There are lots of great nutrients and benefits to eating a diet with lots of fruits and vegetables.
But also a downside, you're saying.
And I think we know more about some pesticides really affecting human health, and studies of American children showing that especially insecticides, because they're designed to target an insect's nervous system, can also have effects on the human nervous system. And we see EPA taking a close look at these pesticides and, year after year announcing different phase outs of some of the most toxic or restricting their use on foods maybe that kids eat more. We see a progress of getting some of the most toxic chemicals off the market and replacing with those that pose a lesser risk to human health. We see an explosive growth of organic agriculture, people really supporting ways of raising food without using pesticides. But we know you can't buy everything organic. We know that, people have a lot of choices when they're thinking about eating fruits and vegetables. And so we thought this information would fill a critical gap in terms of educating consumers and also showing them that there's some conventionally grown foods that are going to come to them, come home in their shopping bag with far fewer pesticide residues on them.
Well, let me get our listeners, if they want to chime in here with a question for Sonia Lunder, who's a senior analyst with the Environmental Working Group, about this whole idea of pesticides and the food they're buying. 816-235-2888 is our phone number, our email address, up to date at kcur.org, or tweet us at KCUR up to date. Well, Sonia, maybe we should break end the mystery here and talk about which foods made the Dirty Dozen list, which are that's the list of the foods that have the most pesticides, and the Clean 15, which are perhaps safer foods to eat in general. How about the Dirty Dozen? Can you walk through what some of those foods were, Sonia?
Definitely. So our Dirty Dozen are crops that have lots of pesticides, different individual chemicals, and also maybe higher concentrations of those chemicals on them. Some things we see year after year, apples, strawberries, top the list from one year to the next. We see that these are, highly treated with pesticides, often have a lot of different pesticides on them. We saw that every sample in the most recent testing of imported nectarines had at least one pesticide on them. And potatoes, by weight, have the highest concentrations of the pesticide residues on those. You can get the whole shopping Dirty Dozen and Clean 15 list at foodnews.org, which is EWG's website for the Dirty Dozen list.
And we'll have that link on our webpage, by the way, kcur.org, right.
Fantastic. The Clean 15 list has a lot of different things on it, and lots of things that we eat a lot. Sweet corn has very few pesticide residues on it, which is great. Also, avocados, asparagus, mangoes, mushrooms, sweet potatoes, lots of things that you can get year-round. Sometimes these have a peel on them, so maybe by peeling it before they test it, we're getting rid of some of the pesticides. But also maybe foods that are grown with fewer pesticide applications.
Well, Sonia, do you eat grapes and strawberries that are not organically grown yourself?
Yeah, I use those. I have two kids. I'm concerned about the safety of pesticide residues, and I do use the Dirty Dozen list as a guide. It shows me which foods to consider buying organically. Now, apples, for example, are a food that maybe adults don't eat or eat in season, but for a kid can be part of their daily diet.
I mean, do you feed your children, do you feed them apples and strawberries and grapes that are not organically grown?
Well, I definitely... everyone makes these decisions themselves.
Yes.
For strawberries, I always buy organic strawberries. It's a combination of all the different pesticides that are found on them, and also knowing that some of the pesticides on conventional strawberries are depleting the ozone layer. And some of the worker concerns, strawberries for me is just one of those foods that I will buy organic or I just won't buy. And at the same time, apples would be another one that would jump out at me because the idea that some kids are drinking apple juice daily or they're having applesauce. We make a lot of applesauce in our family and freeze it and eat it all year round. It's an easy way to get fruits in the middle of the winter. So those are foods that jump out at me. But we also know that when people are making choices, they can see what is available organic or foods that they can just avoid.
Maybe someone listening can't afford to buy organically, and if they were to go to the store and buy grapes and strawberries or apples, what should they do to ensure or to improve their chances that the food they are about to eat does not contain lots of pesticide?
Well, the easiest thing you can do, and something I I admit that I don't do every single time, is washing your produce. You want to wash under a stream of water. You want to kind of rub at the surface. And you think about something like grapes or strawberries as something that's a little trickier to wash and really rub without, you know, them falling apart. But at the very least, a rinse, you know, wiping it with a towel is a really basic precaution for a lot of reasons when you're buying and eating food. And it's something, you know, it can be tricky to do if you're trying to cook dinner and give your kids something to eat to stay out of your way while you got your hands full. But that's a very basic precaution. And also just thinking about looking at this Clean 15 list, it was great to see avocados on there. I know that for little kids, that's a food that you can have around a lot. You can get throughout the year and, you know, great healthy food. So there's some things there that, you know, were relief to me to see are on the Clean 15 list, have virtually no pesticide residues on them typically and really healthy foods.
Let's go to some phone calls here at 816-235-2888. Jeff from Lawrence. Jeff, you're on Up to Date with Sonia Lunder. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm very interested in the topic today. I eat a lot of fruits and vegetables myself. I heard Ms. Lunder mention earlier that the FDA is continually reviewing and sometimes banning certain pesticides, but it was my understanding that the chemical industry, in an effort to maximize profits, generally continues to manufacture banned pesticides and then ship them to the third, sell them to the third world. But then, as in Central and South America, then they continue to grow produce and ship to the United States, and that's called the circle of poison, I believe.
All right, Jeff.
I just wondered if she was concerned about that or had some comment about that.
Yeah, Sonia, go ahead.
Yeah, that's definitely a concern, and there have been some very notable examples over time with pesticides that are withdrawn from the permission to use them in the United States is withdrawn, but the companies continue to manufacture and export those pesticides. We have seen some progress in either voluntary shifts away from making those particular pesticides as a historic issue, but I'd be very it's an issue that's definitely a concern for me and something that we watch closely. Also, the standards for what's allowable to be used internationally are very different in some cases than the U.S. And there's a very interesting study where an anthropologist went out and talked to growers in food exporting countries, and they had no knowledge of what the U.S. rules and regulations were and no easy way to get them. There's, been a real push to get EPA to put that information out in Spanish and in other languages so that people who are either growing food in other countries or somehow responsible for food or exports outside the U.S. can know what the U.S. rules are.
Jeff, thanks for the call. Let's go to Doug from McLouth, Kansas. Doug, good morning.
Good morning.
Where's McLouth?
McLouth is about 40 miles west of Kansas City.
All right.
If you know where Tonganoxie is?
Sure, absolutely.
Just a little beyond Tonganoxie.
Great, great. Glad you called.
You bet. My question was, does your group hold USDA's feet to the fire on their organically labeled foods and the residues they might find in those organic foods?
Definitely. We are concerned. There are a lot of groups working on the organic standards and organic foods. There are sometimes pesticides found in organic foods, either because there isn't a great chain of custody or because sometimes pesticides applied on the next door fields are drifting in the air or coming through the water. So in general, the testing that has been done shows that organic foods either have only those compounds that are allowed to be used on organic crops, or the detection of conventional pesticides is quite low, and definitely lower, as you would expect and hope, than it is in conventional agriculture. But it's an issue we watch. It's something that we can actually see in the data that we're looking at to make those shoppers guide. The testing in organic food is far more limited, but as I said, does show that there are always lower detections and far less common to find any kind of pesticides on them.
Well, Sonia, thank you for taking some time with us. I appreciate the warnings, and it'll make me think a little bit harder when I buy my fruits and veggies next time. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
That's Sonia Lunder. She's a senior analyst with Environmental Working Group. Don't forget to follow KCUR on Facebook and this program on Twitter. We're at KCUR Up to Date. Our show is produced by Steven Steigman, Danny Alexander, Beth Lipoff, and Sangeeta Shastri. I'm Steve Kraske of the Kansas City Star, and you are up to date.